Hello and welcome to our morning service. Today is Remembrance Sunday and we have a special focus on remembering those who have given their lives in time of conflict, thinking especially about the two terrible world wars which left such a scar on the 20th century. We will be remembering the fallen. And we also remember, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Let's pause and just commit our time this morning to our God in prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your amazing grace to us. And we recognize that sacrifice is such a rich biblical theme. We thank you for those who have sacrificed even to the point of death in time of conflict. And Lord, we thank you also and we remember the great sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus, on our behalf. Lord, today, now, help us to remember, help us to worship, and help us to hear from you. Feed our minds and our hearts, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to hand over to Matthew and Sarah Newman now, who are going to lead us in some song worship.
Your glory and your power are here with us, and we praise you today.
It's wonderful to worship our God together. Matthew is going to come back in just a moment and lead us in our All Age talk. And then Colin Jones is going to lead us in our time of remembrance. Before that, I just want to give a brief update on church life in these challenging times. First of all, thank you so much for all the prayers and good wishes in respect of my wedding to Cheryl. I have my wedding ring on. There it is. I nearly held up the wrong hand there, but it's on the correct hand, on my left hand. And, well, we're just so grateful. By the time you engage with this, I will be on leave. We have a number of days off that we've been able to get together. But thank you for all your love and encouragement. It means a huge amount to us. Secondly, we're obviously entering a time of lockdown as a nation. And for us as a church, it's frustrating. I guess you feel that frustration yourself. I just want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, to not dwell so much on the frustration, if we can manage that, but to focus on our wonderful Lord Jesus and to think not so much about what we can't do, but what we can. This sermon series that we are doing, the frontline services, been so wonderful in just encouraging us to serve God, whatever we do, whoever we are, and wherever we go. We have real opportunities in these days to commend our Lord Jesus. Your frontline may be very tough right now, but who knows? Perhaps God has called you there for such a time as this. In terms of church life, as those of you who have read the pastoral update will know, we have taken the difficult decision to furlough some staff once again. So Charlotte Charlton, our cleaner at Crag, has been furloughed. Tracy Prates, our cafe manager, the Greenhouse Cafe, she also has been furloughed. And Kate Burkett, our Young Families Coordinator, we have taken advantage of the flexible furlough scheme. Kate will be working one day a week. All other staff will be working as normally. I'm so grateful for our staff team at Cornerstone, but especially today I wanted to pay tribute to Tracy and Kate, who have been doing such sterling work recently. The Greenhouse Cafe, the Tots Cafe, lots of stuff behind the scenes. So grateful to them. They're such a crucial part of our future as a church, and we look forward to welcoming them back fully as soon as we're able to. Just want to encourage you also about Hannah Childs as she comes to preach today. Again, you will know if you've been reading the pastoral update, so if you took part in our last online church meeting, that we are going through a process of discernment with Hannah. Is God calling her to be associate pastor for children here at Cornerstone? Her preach today is part of that discernment process, and depending on how things go over the next few weeks, we may well be bringing her to the church meeting later in November as we seek to finally discern, is this God's call on Hannah's life? And so the service now is going to proceed with various people taking part. May God bless us as we remember and as we worship together.
Hello. Today is a day to remember. When we remember Jesus, and when we say, Jesus died for me, What does that mean? What did it cost? This is a story by Adrian Plass and describes a visit to a French church with his daughter, Katie, age 4. Just after lunch, we enter the cool interior of a big church near the centre of town. I lost touch with the others for a while, but after a few minutes, I discovered Katie staring at a life-size sculpture of Mary, the mother of Jesus, holding her son's dead body in her arms and looking into his face with an expression of real pain and loss. Katie turned and saw me. "Daddy, why has Jesus got a hole in his side?" Stumblingly, I explained that a Roman spear had been responsible. Katie was horrified. She studied the sculpture again. "Daddy, he's got holes in his feet. Why has he got holes in his feet?" "Look," I pointed to a small crucifix on the wall above us. "They nailed his feet to that piece of wood called a cross. And those are the holes where the nails were." "Nailed his feet?" She turned to look at the stone figures again. Her voice broke a little as she spoke. "Daddy, he's got holes in his hands as well. They didn't nail his hands as well, did they?" "Sadly," I explained. Katie moved closer to the sculpture, put her arm around Jesus, and rested her face down on his knee. Suddenly, I longed to go back to the time when I first understood that Jesus died for me, and it really hurt. Before I covered my faith in words and worries, I wanted to be like a child again. Let's pray. Father, on this day of remembrance, when we remember those who suffered and died in times of war, we also remember Jesus, who died that we might live, who paid the ultimate price for each one of us. I thank you, Lord, for loving me. I thank you, Lord, that I can be a child of yours eternally. Amen.
What love is this? The love of Jesus that gave it all, that cost his life, flesh torn by nails, life cruelly taken, the Father's Son, love sacrifice. And I thank you, Savior, you're always me.
The reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Nowadays, we can go to a search engine and find data on almost any subject. And if we choose to look at a document called the War Database, we can discover some horrifying facts. In the 120 years since 1900, there have been nearly 300 conflicts in the world. In each one of these, there have been more than 1,000 deaths or thereabouts. In the two world wars and in Vietnam, the number of deaths were in millions. But in every event, they were in thousands, tens of thousands, sadly, often in hundreds of thousands. The death of one person touches many. On this important day of the year, which we call Remembrance Sunday, we now prepare ourselves to give 2 minutes of silence to remember. In a moment, I'll pray a prayer which I hope will set our act of remembrance in a right context. Some of this material was resourced by the Baptist Peace Fellowship. During the time of silence, you'll find some words on the screen which you may or may not find helpful. But each one of us will have our own way of using this precious and important time. So, if you are able, you may like to stand as we join with millions of others in a silent act of remembrance. We prepare through prayer. Lord, we are aware of the voices clamouring to be heard on Remembrance Day. Those who demand that gratitude be shown to those who have made the supreme sacrifice and given lives for sovereign and country. Those to whom this is irrelevant past history. Those who wish to remember and expect others to do so. Those to whom today is but a reopening of wounds and a delay in healing. Those who glory in war and those who loathe it. Those who see war as a cruel necessity and those who see it as an evil in which no one should participate. Deliver us, Lord, from an insensitive polarizing of attitudes. For we remember, Lord Jesus, that you weep with us over every life lost in war. whether lost through an act of selfless heroism or as an innocent victim of a car bomb in a marketplace. So we remain silent. We will remember them. Finally, a short poem by Kenneth Carverley, written on seeing the war graves at Arras.
Christ, what is this sea of stone, sown with the wheat that cries for peace? What loves bright promises and dreams cut stubble short, here lie buried deep. Christ, who makes the tomb a place of living hope, unite their offering to your sacrifice. By your power, let not this grain remain fruitless and alone, but from it may we share a harvest rich in faith and love, in which life begins anew. Lord, let this be so.
Living Lord, in a dark hour you spoke of the gift of peace. We seek that gift for ourselves. Grant us, we pray, the inner serenity which you alone can give, that we may become messengers of peace to a strife-torn world. Amen.
Gathered,
welcomed,
celebrated,
restored,
gathered together,
encouraged,
supported,
loved,
reminded who God is,
hearts awed by His majesty,
eyes seeing fresh,
the wonder of grace,
thankful for his awesome, unwavering love.
Reminded who I am.
And all I have received.
Challenged.
Equipped.
Renewed.
Commissioned.
Ready.
Sent.
Good morning, Cornerstone family. Well, this morning's passage is all about community. It's going to tell us how much we need each other. And never more has that been true than this year. Our times together as a church have changed, but they are still a great opportunity for us to cast vision of what missional discipleship should look like in our day-to-day lives. Today also marks the day when we remember those who have made huge sacrifices so that we can have a safe country and one where we can lead the lives that we have today. World War One and World War Two were times when people had to rally together and support each other and form good community. It was a strange time and one that was uncertain, when they didn't know when it would end. In 1914, there was a popular phrase at the beginning of the World War. They said, well, it'll all be over by Christmas. Unknown to them, it was the beginning of a 4-year campaign. Similarly, I remember in March when the coronavirus was just beginning to have some serious impact on the UK. I was chatting with the Connect leaders and we were wondering what we could plan for, what we could do. And the saving grace was, but it'll all be over by Christmas. We'll still be able to do the things that we usually do at Christmas. We weren't to know that it was the beginning of a 3-month lockdown, and we'd be in lockdown again now in November, and the prospects of Christmas are just still unknown. Today's passage is strange when you think about how it is asking us to gather together to encourage each other and spur us on, when most of this year we've had to gather in such a different way. I don't know about you, but this time last year, I had never heard of Zoom, and watch parties were just a function on Facebook that I'd never explored myself. And for now, we're all experts and we're experiencing church at home on our own or with our households. You know, never before in the whole of our history of our faith have believers had to separate on such a global scale in order to worship. And I don't know about you, but I find it just so much harder to be able to wholeheartedly worship without you guys, without my family with me. And I know that when we do get to have that moment, it will be a really emotional and joyful experience. But despite all of that, I want to bring you guys some hope. I want to encourage us that even though the experience of the physical experience of worship has changed, the power of God has not. I'm going to say that again because I muffled up my words. Even though the physical experience of worship has changed, The power of God hasn't. He is still working in our lives just as powerfully as before. He still wants to meet with us in our living rooms, in our kitchens, in our bedrooms. And as we step forward into yet another period of lockdown, when we don't know how long this is going to go on for, I want to remind us of the hope and the joy that is found in knowing Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And holding on to this, I believe, will enable us to continue to be the beacons of hope that God calls us to be in our workplaces, in our places of study, in our homes. I think it's going to be pivotal in this time. See, what we practice on a Sunday together, whether that's in person or online, it helps us to live out what God is calling us to on Monday through to Sunday. And there's a few things that I want to pick out from our passage this week. So first, we need to hold on to hope together. There are so many things that would just tempt us to give up from following Jesus, or at least grow cold in our faith. And there have been many this year, I am sure. The writers of Hebrew, they urge us to do these things. They urge us to draw near to God. This passage comes after a few chapters of the writer describing how in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, in order for us to be right with God, the holiest priest would go into the holiest temple, into a special chamber once a year, and he would atone for our sins and sacrifice animals. Only that one person would be allowed in there once a year. But through Jesus' death on the cross, we have full and intimate access to relationship with God. There's no need to be atoned through an earthly priest. There's no need for a special place at a special time. We don't have to sacrifice animals. We just have to open our eyes and our hearts to accept him and his saving grace. See, with Jesus as our high priest, our mediator, we no longer live in that Old Testament, in that Old Covenant. Jesus has fulfilled all the laws so that we can live full and intimate lives with our Heavenly Father. What a joy and what a privilege it is that we can come near to God whenever we like. Secondly, this should then give us complete assurance of our faith. As we stand and focus on Jesus, we discover who we are as a result of what he has done for us. This might mean that we stand out from the crowd. God doesn't call us to be normal. God calls us to be abnormal. To be different, to live our lives his way and not in the way of the world. I want to share with you an analogy now. Just go with me, please. We've learned this year, in this series, that there are 6 in 100 people who are Christians. So imagine you are wearing a red t-shirt as someone who believes in Jesus, and everyone else who doesn't know Jesus is wearing a grey t-shirt. You'd stand out, right? But what are you doing to stand out, to wear your red t-shirt? Sometimes it's a lot easier just to stick on a grey jumper over the top so that we could blend in with the rest of the world. Sometimes it costs to be able to wear our red t-shirt. Are you afraid of losing social face? If we have complete assurance of who we are because of the cross, then we should be willing to take off our jumper and live out our lives as followers of Jesus. Doesn't just mean going to church on a Sunday and then getting up and going to work on Monday morning. It means living out and being different, using the things that we are hearing on a Sunday and acting as ambassadors for Christ Monday through to Sunday. Sometimes it's not enough just to act different. We need our words as well to back us up. Without our words, people make assumptions. They think we're just kind or doing it because we're good people. They need to know that we're doing this because out of the love that we have from Jesus. One of my favourite verses is that we love because God first loved us. In the early church, they were unapologetic. If you need an example, just go and read Acts. There's so many characters in there who just unadulteratedly love Jesus and want to do his will. And many of them died for their beliefs. Now, I'm not saying that that's what we need to go and do, but we need to be... But are you willing to lose your social status, at least? To be laughed at? To be an outcast because of your faith? These are big questions that even I still struggle with. But if we have Jesus as our saviour, then I want to be willing to do anything to be as close to him as possible while witnessing to as many people as possible. And in the next coming weeks, when there's so much uncertainty, we have such an opportunity to speak hope, speak of abnormal hope to our friends, to our families, to our colleagues, and to be peacemakers in a time of unrest and uncertainty. In verse 24, it has this word spurring, and this talks about spurring each other on. You might be scared that you've got to do all of this on your own, that you might be the only Christian in your workplace, but you don't have to do this alone. We have one another as a church family to spur and encourage each other on. Spur is a very strange word, and I've said it a lot in the last minute. It has this idea of inciting and provoking one another. It's a strange word that's linked with love and good works. But its strength suggests the importance of helping one another to live our faith, live out our faith on our front lines. We can grow weary of doing good. People can be ungrateful or manipulative, and our best efforts may not lead to lasting change, and that makes it so easy to give up. This year may have been a particularly difficult year for you to keep going, let alone to think about how you can be a missional disciple in your workplace. The writer of Hebrews recognised this and said that we can help one another by not allowing each other to give up, to keep the challenge before us, to keep going. I wonder who those people are in your life. Who are the people who are challenging you and encouraging you? Perhaps you're part of a band or a small group. If you're not, then this is such a wonderful time to get involved. Matt Wright, one of our ministers, coordinates all the small groups, and he would absolutely love it if you sent him an email wanting to get involved in a small group. Band is also a really good opportunity to have people around you who will hold you accountable to speaking out and being missional in your day-to-day life. I've been a part of a band for a few months, and each week we ask each other, where have you seen Jesus? Where have you seen God in your day-to-day life? And I love this question, and it refocuses me to think and look out for the opportunities that God is calling me to make change and do things. One, so that I can go back and share something, but two, because it's making a difference in my world. The third person that I have in my life is a mentor called Beth. I love her dearly, and she's been part of my life for a long time now. And she definitely fits into this category of being a spurrer, is that right? Of spurring me on, but also provoking. Beth will call out things in my life. She will ask me tricky questions that no one wants to ask, and she'll hold me accountable to things. If I've said that I want to do something, then she'll ask me 2 weeks later if I've done it. And people like that in my life keep me focused, keep me driving towards the daughter of Christ, the daughter of God that he has made me to be. So who are the people in your life? Maybe have a think about that this afternoon. Where do you go for Christian encouragement or provoking? You know, there's a famous proverb in chapter 27 that says that iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's hard to leave all the encouragement and provoking to Sunday morning, to the Sunday morning preach. I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to be all of that for you. We need our folk. We need folk in our day-to-day lives, those who know us intimately, know us really well, to keep us going and keep reminding us of the hope that we carry in our front lines. So finally, I'm going to encourage us that we keep meeting together. The last 5 weeks, we've been focusing on our front lines, the places where we spend our time working, learning, running our homes, running and raising children. Together with Peter and Matt and Caroline, we've been encouraging you to be beacons, to stand out, to proudly wear your red t-shirt amongst a sea of grey t-shirts. And in doing this, I hope you may have begun to see your front line as somewhere where you can be a difference maker and a disciple. But in doing this, we're not suggesting for 1 minute that our life together as Cornerstone family is not important. In fact, if this is the place where we are reminded of the core elements of our faith, and if this is the community that will help us remain faithful to our calling, if this is our community that will affirm the significance of where we are Monday through to Sunday, then meeting together is vital. It may have looked different in the last 8 months, but it's still central to our spiritual disciplines. We may not be able to see each other worshipping, and our home experiences vary from very quiet, sedate, to loud and distracting. But God sees us. He sees our hearts. He sees our intentions to worship him and give thanks to Jesus. And as we heard earlier, we don't need to be in a holy temple or a church to access relationship with God. With Jesus as our mediator, we can meet with him in our homes. I think there's something really powerful in the way that we are still gathering, hearing the same word together, despite all the restrictions that lay before us. The gathered church, the gathered worship life of our church is where we teach, guide, challenge, equip, love, and commission one another for our lives on our front line. We need each other so that we can be awesome during the week. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of this community. We commend one another to you on our different front lines. Wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we are. May the Holy Spirit guide us in all things so that we may do God's will in the world, in the service of Jesus Christ and with great joy. Amen.
Says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour.
Yeah.
church, we would pray commissioning prayers for missionaries, for ordained ministers, for those in other church roles. However, every member of this church family, every member of you guys sat watching this at home, has a place to which they are called to by God for this season, your front line. Whether you're 4 or 104, you have a place where you can make a difference, a place that God is calling you to be missional and be the disciple that you are called to be. And so this morning we are going to finish our series on frontline by commissioning you to your place of your frontline place. I'm really excited to be able to do this with you guys this morning. On your screen, you're going to see some words, hopefully, if I've managed to send all the right technology to the right places. And I'm going to say the words in italics, and you at home, children, get involved too. You guys are going to say the bit in bold. And we're going to do this together. You might not be able to see each other doing this, but I really pray that you would take this to your heart. Okay, let's pray. As followers of Jesus Christ, will you embrace your front lines as places of possibility and potential in the purposes of God? Will you believe that God is already at work in these places, and will you give yourself unreservedly to his purposes in you and through you, wherever you are? With the help of God, we will. Will you trust God with the big things and the small things that you do day by day, and seek to make all that you do on your front lines a part of your worship to him? Will you learn to rely on him, his power, his love, and his grace, whatever you do? With the help of God, we will. As sons and daughters of your heavenly Father, will you believe that your value, your worth, your significance, and your life on the front line flow first from this identity? Will you embrace the joy and freedom of being a child of God, whoever you are? With the help of God, we will. And as the body of Christ, will you commit to encouraging and helping one another to flourish in Christ and be fruitful on your front lines? Will you learn to be the people of God, gathered and scattered, helping one another to make all the difference in the world? With the help of God, we will. Let me pray for you guys. We affirm your call to follow Christ in all of life, including life on your front line. We commission this life and work and pledge to you our prayers, encouragement and support. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this and in all things you will know Christ and seek to make him known to the glory of God the Father. Let's say together, we rejoice in being followers of Jesus, sent from this church into God's world for his purposes. May the blessing of God go with you. Oh, it's just awesome. I hope that you taken that to your heart. It'd be really good to hear some stories from you guys of how what you've been learning from God through this series. And so we're going to hop on to Zoom after church, straight after this service. And I think that would be such an awesome opportunity just to hear about your front lines. And let's just keep praying for one another as we encourage each other to do what God has called us to do in our front lines. Amen.